Alexander, I was speaking to one of our viewers, and we did the video the other day, before the video, and we talked about The Hague in the Netherlands, and we made a comment as to how they treated Serbia and some of the leaders of Serbia during those war crime proceedings. And we've made many comments in the past how, I know I have said it in the past, how I believe a lot of the neoliberal war machine and the world order that we have today, to me at least, originated with the destruction and dismantling of Yugoslavia. That's how I view the world that we live in today can be explained by going back to that moment in time. And so I sent this viewer, I couldn't explain the whole conflict in Yugoslavia. I mean, it's very complicated to explain the email, but I sent him the documentary, which I think is a fantastic documentary, if not the best on Yugoslavia, by Boris Malagurski, called The Weight of Chains. And I'll put a link for that in the description. And as I was watching it, you know, pretty much maybe a third in, Boris, who's narrating the documentary, and we'll play a clip after you speak, Alexander, we'll play a clip of what I'm about to say. Boris, you know, says, is they're ramping up the war machine to dismantle Yugoslavia and destroy Serbia. That was the goal, destroy Serbia and get to Russia. So that was the goal. That's how all the think tanks and all the smart guys in Washington saw it. We're not going to go after Russia right away, a weak Russia. We're going to dismantle Serbia first, level them, take them out, and then we have our sights set on going after Russia during the time of Yeltsin. And Boris is narrating. He goes, and they had, you know, I'm paraphrasing, they had the man for the job, enter Joe Biden. He had clips of, and he plays a lot of clips of Biden back then. And then he plays clips showing Christiane Amanpour, who was also driving for the war and the destruction, the bombing of Serbia. He brought in, you know, obviously film of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Tony Blair. And I was thinking to myself, God, it's just all the same people from back then up until today. You want to know why we live in the world we live in? Look at what happened in Yugoslavia. Alexander, what do you think of
I entirely agree. First of all, I agree. I think it's a brilliant documentary. And I think that definitely if you want to understand the Yugoslav war and the destruction of Yugoslavia and why it happened, definitely read it. And of course, we both remember the bombing of Serbia and the crisis that that caused. And we're still living with the implications of that. But as you've rightly said, it's the same gallery of rogues that were there then. They are still around now. And of course, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, all of them, Tony Blair, all of them. And Yugoslavia was part of the strategy, as you correctly say, was picking off Russia's allies or friends that were friendly to Russia or independent countries, which might not be terribly friendly to Russia, but nonetheless were seen as somehow potentially aligned with Russia, picking them off one by one. Serbia in Europe being one of the most important because the Serbs and the Russians have very, very close historic ties. And this was both the most developed first stage of this strategy, and it was also if you like, the I won't even call it a dress rehearsal because that gives a misleading impression. It was a very violent episode, but it set the template for what happened again and again thereafter. If you remember, one of the people who's involved in very heavily is, of course, Tony Blair, who is very close to Joe Biden. I mean, you know, Biden's there with all of them. Blair's there. And, of course, Blair then becomes part of the war against Iraq. He's one of these people who's enthusiastically endorsing all these regime change wars. He enthusiastically becomes an enthusiastic proponent of this idea of, you know, using R2P, this new doctrine that is created around this time, so-called responsibility to protect, which is really responsibility to overthrow, because that's what it basically is. The idea that, you know, certain Western countries have a privileged right to overthrow the governments of other countries on grounds of, you know, human rights abuses or whatever. And that's all developed and evolved over the Yugoslav crisis. And of course, Biden is amongst this group, and they all collectively support the war in Iraq. They all collectively support the war in Afghanistan. They all collectively support the wars in Libya, which of course they wage too. So there is a continuous continuity of all of these people, with Biden absolutely at the center of it all. And of course, it all leads to the most important, if you like, chess piece in the whole game, which is Ukraine. I mean, there is the putsch in Ukraine, and who do we see there again? We see Joe Biden, and it's all the same people that we're talking about. You know, it's like taking a time machine, or you go all the way back. You find, you know, 1990s, the same people doing all these things in Yugoslavia, and then you find them later in Ukraine. It's exactly the same lot.
I'm laughing, but I mean, you know, you want to cry, but because it's the same damn people, from CNN all the way to the Bidens and the Clintons and the Blairites and all the same people. Yeah. One real quick comment before I play a clip of the documentary and the Biden piece. This was also the template for the IMF and the EU and the World Bank and all these technocrats coming into countries, breaking them up, coming in there, consulting them, and just piling on tons of debt, you know, on top of debt to kind of subjugate them from an economic standpoint as well. Because I was looking at some of the graphs as he was pointing them in the documentary, and our viewers, if they see the documentary, they'll understand what I mean. You had countries like, you know, Croatia or Serbia who had very little debt, and all of a sudden, all the IMF guys and all the EU guys and all the technocrats and the accountants and the money managers come in and they take a debt of like 100 million and it balloons up to like 10 billion.
Yeah.
And that's where the economic template was also set out.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. It's in the 1990s, and not, by the way, just in these countries, but also, of course, within Britain and the United States. This is the era, the epoch, the 1990s of deregulation, of Glass-Steagall being abolished in the United States, of Bill Clinton basically giving financialization and globalization the absolute green, not just the green light, I mean, he turbocharges it. And Tony Blair is doing exactly the same in Britain at this time. And Joe Biden, Senator for Delaware, he's also involved. I mean, he's fully involved, because I mean, Delaware, as we know perfectly well, is the credit card industry, I think, is there. So he's an enthusiastic supporter of all of this. And he's not just a supporter, he's actually an architect. He's one of the people who's heavily involved in setting it all up. So these people are both the authors, the creators of the sort of regime change policy that we've been talking about, and the wars that we've been talking about, the architects and the philosophical architects with, you know, their R2P doctrines and all the rest. And they are also the architects of the financialized, globalized economy that we are still living in. And they are also the philosophical architects of globalization. They are the same group of people all the time. And it's amazing how persistent they are. And of course, they've all benefited from it personally in a massive way. I mean, Tony Blair is a multimillionaire. I mean, not just a millionaire, I mean, he's an extremely rich man. The Clintons are immensely wealthy people. And of course, Joe, he's not a poor man, whatever else he is. He's done very well with himself in all this time. So these people have done very, very well by their masters in, you know, the financial world, the financial services industry, the oligarchs in the, you know, the tech oligarchs and the financial oligarchs. They've also done very well by the geopolitical neocons and all of those with their, you know, great strategies and chess games, which have caused so much ruin and misery around the world. And they've done very well out of it. And they're all still there. And they're still saying all the same things that they were saying all that time ago. I mean, the most extraordinary and, to my mind, creepiest thing about this documentary is not just seeing the same people, but hearing them saying the same things. I mean, it's not as if anything's changed. I mean,
Nothing's changed.
they talk exactly the same language. They come up with the same cliches, the same platitudes, the same slogans, the same
Propaganda.
propaganda. As I said, as I said, you put on the record, and they put on the same record again and again and again. They get the support of the same media outlets, CNN, as you rightly said. I mean, they were there then, and they're there now. And note, it's CNN that's been perhaps the most relentless backer of Biden and the most relentless abuser of Trump. And a bit of, Bernie and all that. I mean, it's very strange to see them all still there, still saying the same things, still at the center of everything, still obviously. I mean, it's not as if they've learned anything, because of course, what they've learned lots, but they've learned how good it is for them to do these things. And if you want change in the world, if you think that the world is not as it ought to be, if in fact you are repelled and disgusted by the things that happen, well, you need to see this program, understand who has made the world that we see today, and understand also Joe Biden's absolutely enormous role in it all, which explains why the DNC has brought him to the fore and why he's their candidate.
Exactly. And it also explains why they hate Trump so much, because these guys have been pals for 30, 40 years.
Correct. Absolutely, yes. And
This is like a clique, a group of friends that have been together for decades over decades, demolishing the world and getting fabulously rich off of it. And here comes
absolutely,
Trump.
exactly, exactly, sir.
All right, so let's play a couple clips from Weight of Chains from Boris Malagurski, and we hope you guys like it.
I think it was something like 1.8 billion percent inflation rate.
They even printed a 500 billion dinar note. The lawlessness was intensifying and the mafia was taking control. In spite of the catastrophe around them, the Serbs would not heel to the will of the West. So one man decided to use this opportunity to save an organization that no longer had a purpose. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, was a system of collective defense whereby its member states agreed to mutual defense in response to an attack by any external party, founded in 1949. The purpose, really, became to protect the West from the Soviets, a counterbalance to the later formed Warsaw Pact.
President Eisenhower saw NATO as a defensive alliance that eventually the Europeans would take over. Instead, the U.S. has turned it into an instrument of power and eastward expansion.
But then the Soviet Union went bust.
The U.S. explicitly broke the agreement that was made with Gorbachev about not surrounding Russia with hostile, militarily armed states.
The colonization of Serbia is the bottom or second step on the staircase to Russia. We must be colonized because NATO learned Hitler's lesson. Don't have a two-front war when you're attacking the Russians. You have to neutralize Yugoslavia the way Hitler did.
But to do that, you'd need to create a case where you had to intervene against an enemy in Yugoslavia. Enter Joe Biden.
We face a blatant act of Serbian expansionism and aggression. This is no more a civil war than Germany and Austria and Czechoslovakia had civil wars in the 1930s. This, as then in my view, is fascist thuggery on the march.
He was calling Serbs horrific names at the same time that he had a very influential position on the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate.
Biden was also emphasizing the importance of a new role for NATO, as seen in February of 1994 at the Senate hearing on the future of NATO.
Last month, while the Allies reassured themselves in Brussels that NATO remains at the bedrock of European security, crimes of a kind that were tried in Nuremberg a half a century ago continued unabated in Bosnia. Without a common enemy to unite us, we may find that our conceptions of what constitutes national interest may very well divide us.
He found the common enemy in the Serbian people, who were already previously demonized by U.S. public relation firms such as Reuter and Finn, hired by various separatist groups from Yugoslavia.
They not only demonized the Serbian leadership, they demonized the Serbian people.
The problem for the Serbs was that they were a little slow off the mark. They did not understand what was being done to them, and by the time they did, the whole Balkan region had collapsed into a state of conflict in which the Serbs were made out clearly from propaganda at the time to be the enemy of everybody else.
Thus, the U.S. quickly set out to act against the Serbs, stirring up a storm in Croatia. Operation Storm, that is.